It's lovely to meet you, although in this kind of distant way. Hello, and I hope everybody is feeling and doing fine, no matter the time of the day, as it is morning time here in Finland and Jyväskylä. I know that some of you are of course outside of Finland and having either evenings or even later night time. So yeah, I truly wish that everybody is fine. I met some of you already on Tuesday. My name is Marita Häkkinen and I work here in the admission services of JYU. I've been involved quite a bit on our international master's degree programs, coordinating tasks, as well as this remote identification processing lately. But actually my main work consists of supporting migrants who have moved to Finland, who wish to integrate to the higher education and academic professions in Finland. So that's why my topic actually for today will follow now in my presentation. And are you able to see my presentation now?
Yes, we are, Marita. Thank you.
Okay, excellent. So today I'm going to introduce you briefly to the Finnish society. And the aim of this session is to give you a brief look to the Finnish society and welfare system, and also because such organizations as Immigration Office, Migri, Digital and Population Data Services Agency, this former local registration office. In Finnish, we call it Maistraatti, as many of you already know. And also Kela, of course, part of this system. I will just have a few slides of them as well. Then in the end of my presentation, I will introduce what kind of support is there actually available for integration to Finland and in specific to Jyväskylä. There will be actually a lot of links in my presentation. I will not be opening them, but I hope that you will find them helpful later on once you will little by little settle down and start to find information. You're of course always welcome to contact, for example, me. There is a contact information in the end of the presentation, and currently, unfortunately, I'm not able to meet face to face, but we can always meet in Zoom or Teams or Skype even these days, and hopefully later on then also in person. All right, so I'm suggesting this kind of structure for this session. So first, there will be a few words about the administration of Finland at several levels, as well as, of course, including the perspectives of interculturality, which is very, of course, important part of the Finnish society, as well as, of course, very current topic as well. Then we will go proceed to the welfare system a bit, and then to these services of Kela, Migri, and then the Digital and Population Data Services, and then finally to the integration. Okay, so first a few things about the bodies of administration of Finland. So Finland is a republic, and the highest organs of government are the Parliament of Finland. We have 200 members of parliament appointed by election for 4 years at a time. And of course, the president of the republic is appointed by election. The term is 6 years, and in maximum one person can have two terms. For example, our current president, Sauli Niinistö, has now his second term, and the next elections for president we will have in 2024. Okay. And then actually now I'm seeing that there is a very big mistake in my slide, because I've said that the Finnish government, of course, is not appointed 2020 anymore by Prime Minister Antti Rinne, but actually Sanna Marin, which I also do think that many of you know, or also abroad already. She's been a lot also in public and media, so on. Finland is divided into municipalities that are self-covering, and they do collect taxes from their residents. And basically based on these taxes, the municipalities organize a different kind of services for their residents. For example, healthcare, childcare, daycare, and school education. And the decisions are made by the municipal councils, and the members of these councils are selected through these elections held every 4 years. I will I have actually an own slide about these elections, because they may actually concern, of course, will concern the citizens of Finland, but also those of you who might not be citizens of Finland, but I will go in details to that soon. And yes, and then we have, of course, the local level of the administration, and for example, centers of economic development, transport and environment. You might have heard about ELY centers in Finnish, or will heard about this body belong to this local administration. And of course, such as police and employment and economic offices and so on. Okay, and here was the slide about the right to vote. So all Finnish citizens who are at least 18 years of age have the right to vote in parliament and presidential elections. Then, in a European Parliament election, also the citizens of other EU member states who have actually entered their names on Finland's voting register have the right to vote. And then getting to this municipal election, that I think it was actually mentioned also in a previous session, citizens of Finland, of course, Finnish citizens, but also from an other EU member state, also Nordic countries, and then those citizens of other countries than these mentioned here, who have been having the residence in Finland for at least 2 years, have the right to vote. So though you don't have a citizenship of Finland or of these countries mentioned, if you have lived here in Finland for this time, you can vote. And then there is a link where you can actually check about this right to vote instructions. All right, so we live in actually in a country where we do have two national languages, Swedish and Finnish. I'm sure you've heard about this as well already. Finnish is, of course, a language that is spoken by nearly 4.9 million people, and Swedish is a native language that is spoken by quite a big minority also. But of course, you know that you know, and if you are not yet in Finland, I hope that in your studies you will find out that English is widely spoken and used besides studies, also at work in media and so on here. And then I mentioned some of our minorities traditionally, including, besides the Swedish-speaking Finns, Sami, Romani, Jews, and Tatars. These are some minorities. And then this figure, 7% of Finnish population, residents who have moved to Finland from abroad. This figure is from the year 2018, so it is possible that it has come up a bit for this year. the reasons for moving to Finland, of course, you know, is of course studies in many times, also work, family relations, refugee, and so on. Okay, so if you live in Finland and you in your family you are speaking some other languages that besides Finnish and or not Finnish and Swedish, but other languages, your children are actually entitled to study their own languages at school. So this link guides you to find a long list of languages that the students and pupils can study also for their mother tongue at schools. Finland has a freedom of religion, so this means of course that all people have the right to practice their own religion or not to choose any religion as well. In the end of this slide you can see two links. The other one, last one, goes to Gloria Intercultural Center that locates in Tourula here in Jyväskylä. If you are already in Jyväskylä, I think it's possible to visit in there. You have to of course check the instructions for this safety reasons due to Corona. But I think also Gloria, if you are interested and you are abroad, they do offer their groups and sessions online, so you can still look even though you are not yet moved here. And then this VARI, the link before Gloria, this is a organization of intercultural association in Jyväskylä, centralized organization. Very interesting body. Also both these VARI and Gloria could be very good places if you are, for example, later on looking for a place for internship, for example. You could look from these are kind of third sector organizations. All right, so some things about the building blocks of welfare in Finland. So in Finnish society, a fundamental right is equality. And in our legislation, we do have this very important Non-Discrimination Act that prohibits all discrimination on the basis of gender, age, origin, nationality, language, religion, belief, opinion, political activity, trade union activity, family relationships, state of health, disability, sexual orientation, or any other personal characteristics. It's very, very important right and part of our legislation, actually. I'm sorry about that. It seems that you may also hear some notes of I suppose emails are coming, so please don't get disturbed about this voices or noise and, in the background. Okay, and also according to the Finnish legislation, women and men are equal and are actually, if you take a look at how things are being organized, for example, in the families, it's very common that both spouses are responsible for the care of the children at the home. Also, democracy and freedom of speech are fundamental principles. And there is freedom of press in Finland. And this actually means that the state cannot dictate what is said in the media, such as in newspapers, television, or websites. And of course, the idea of the welfare system is to guarantee decent living conditions for all residents or people residing in Finland. As Sanna already presented, the FSHS services. This is part, of course, important part of the system provided for the students. But sort of building blocks of the system where it's been based on are actually the social insurance, pension, sickness and unemployment benefits, and workers' compensation if you got unemployed and so on. You can get this kind of benefit paid by Kela, or of course the labor market union and so on. Then the welfare system, also covered by the Kela, includes family aid, childcare services and services for the disabled, partly covered by the Kela, and then a comprehensive health system. And the Finnish social security is divided, actually, this kind of residence-based social security that is funded by taxes, as I said before, and also employment-based and earnings-related social security, meaning that part of the salary is used for the welfare system costs, actually. And many public services, such as libraries, cultural activities and hobbies, and of course, if we take a look at around, we have or should have quite safe environment here in Finland and Jyväskylä, as well as early childhood and basic education that are available for everyone in Finland. But in sometimes the eligibility for the social security and benefits is based on permanent residence. And this I want to remind, especially those of you who are not living or are not getting a more permanent basis residence permit to stay here in Finland. The Kela services, for example, are quite a lot limited only for those those residents who have either a type of residence permit or who are already citizens of Finland or EU member states and so on. So always check your rights to which benefits and services you are entitled to have or get. Okay. All right. Then about some words about Kela that's been mentioned already many times during this orientation. So Kela actually looks after the social security of people who are covered under the Finnish social security system. I already mentioned these family benefits, also health insurance, rehabilitation, basic unemployment security, housing supplement, financial aid for student and basic pensions. These are all paid by Kela. And yeah, this was already mentioned that usually requires a permanent residence in Finland to get these services and benefits. And yes, this is very important. I'm actually going already to these last points of this slide, that if you have come, you have entered to Finland, for example, by having the residence permit type B, which is usually the case for our international degree students. And if something happens, if this changes, for example, you would be able to get the residence permit type A, and you will apply and get it. Then the circumstances may change also during your studies, or vice versa. So always it's important to know the relation between your residing status in Finland and your right to get services from different institutions. And always you can, of course, ask and contact these organizations in order to ask if it's possible to, for example, apply or for a benefit or not. And ask also from us, but sometimes the best information and most of the times the best information is being provided by those providers who actually are running these processes, are in charge of them. EU, European Economic Area and Swiss students are entitled to necessary medical treatment in Finland if you have or you can present your European health insurance card granted by your own country of residence. Here you can find the Kela's contact information, also social information about the social insurance of foreign students. I would like to remind you that you can, if you have any reason why to visit Kela, you needed to visit in Kela, you can visit. They are currently taking good care of the safety arrangements in their lobbies and queuing policy providing their services. And Kela locates here in Jyväskylä in Vapaudenkatu. I think it's just opposite to the Forum and those main bus stops, sort of station in Vapaudenkatu. And many links, these links may include maybe at least this Info Finland study in Finland, kotouttaminen and so on, quite general kind of information. This tem.fi and kela.fi links, of course, are quite practical as well on your way to settle down in Finland. And well, I guess everything is important. It's good to know about many things while living, studying here, or coming to study, also being present here, or just for your information at the moment, though you were still outside of Finland. Okay. Then proceeding to Migri, that processes the residence permits in Finland, as many of course already knows. And Migri is subordinate to the Ministry of Interior in Finland. Among other things, they do process the residence permit applications to Finland. Also for EU European Union citizens' right to reside in Finland, these applications for registering are being processed in Migri or by Migri. Also applications for Finnish nationality and refugee issues, residence permits in case if someone has arrived as a refugee asylum seeker in Finland, to Finland. Additional information, of course, very updated, usual, at least to my knowledge, available on their website. But please now note, because I know that there might be students following this session who are still under processing your visa abroad or are going to process your visa. This link here, migri.fi, you are not in Finland, this will include, or this includes important information about the updates, visiting times and the situation of visiting in the embassies, this kind of deadlines for having your interviews and so on. So please follow this link if you need this kind of information. Also, frequently asked questions can many times be a good place to find answer to your question. Well, I think because there is a sort of limitation in time, I will not go into details. This who needs a residence permit in Finland. I'm sure that everybody knows the situation regarding your own need for this. And I already reminded about the EU citizens registration that you have to do also this, so remember to do the registration, and there is a link for more information for you. Okay, then about the residence permit types. So type B residence permit is a so-called temporary residence permit, usually issued for 1 or 2 years at a time. Nowadays it's possible to apply and get it right away for 2 years. And of course, usually international degree students whose primary reason of arriving in Finland is to study here are usually granted this kind of residence permit. Remember this, and this is quite often a question to us in our university services, that you are entitled or you have right to work with this kind of residence permit in maximum of 25 hours a week on average. So this means that that some weeks this amount of 25 hours can be exceeded. Sometimes it can be below that, but this is an average in a week. And of course, due to our university act legislation, type B residence permit holders are liable to pay tuition fees in programs where these tuition fees are being required, and then we have the scholarship system and so on. You are already familiar with these issues. Okay, then about this type A residence permit, that is usually use the word more permanent kind of residence permit. It can be issued for a maximum of 4 years at a time, and the reasons for issuing this can be continuous employment, family ties, or international protection, as I said, refugee kind of situation. And if in case this permit, and this is good to know for the future purposes, if the permit is issued based on employment, it is often valid only until the end of the ending date of the work contract, if it's this kind of fixed term employment. So, okay, there is a kind of mistake, so not on continuous employment in that way. You can have a temporary contract and get this permit, but then it's not issued for example, 4 years, but for the time of the contract, it will be valid. And holders of this type of residence permit are exempted from tuition fee liability. During that time while this residence permit is valid. If there will be a change, please let us know in the admission services, and of course you will have to contact MICRI also in this case. All right. So if you hold a residence permit or will hold a residence permit, and when there will be a time that it would expire, you will need to extend it. And it's recommended that this should not done before 3 months before, but so at the earliest three months before it would expire. but it's very good to do it early enough. So please do not wait until the very last minute with extending your residence permit. Here are some links you can check for further information, how to fill in the application. If needed, you would need to book a visit in MIGRIS service point. Of course, at the moment, also the updates for this COVID-19 situation must be taken into account, but the pages will always have information and instructions regarding this. And of course, requirement for this, for extending your residence permit when it's the type B permit, you will have to, or you will need to study very well, or you have to be kind of hard working during your studies, because it's required that 45 ECTS would be completed per academic year. You will have to attach the transcript of records proving this to your application of extending your RP. Also, certificate of attendance that you can get from our student services, or also order this nowadays as an electronic version. And then you have to prove your funds. This amount is for year, for 1 year. And if you are liable for, or if you are not a holder of scholarship, you will need to also prove the tuition fee payment or the scholarship. If you're doing your master thesis, this amount of 45 credits does not necessarily then regard this extension application. Then some words about residence permit for seeking work after graduation. So once eventually you've studied, completed a degree, but you have not yet found a job following your graduation, you can apply for a residence permit to look for work or start your own business. And you must apply this permit actually before your residence permit, your current residence permit expires. And this kind of permit can be actually, let's see if I have it, no, I don't have, can be gotten only once. There is, so you have to be sort of careful for what kind of time period you will apply for this permit. There is additional information in this link regarding this. And this slide I will skip. There was a lot of information about this already. All right, then a few words about the Digital and Population Data Services Agency. This name changed this year. They were former called Local Register Offices in Finnis Maistraatti. And here in Jyväskylä, Maistraatti locates in Yliopistonkatu, and at the moment, if you needed to visit in Maistraatti here in Jyväskylä or in other place in Finland, you would need to book appointment. And here is a link for booking these appointments and other important information regarding the exceptional arrangements during this corona time pandemic. So among many other things, this Maistraatti processes, for example, the registration of the right to reside in Finland for citizens of the Nordic countries. So not for the EU member state countries, you the EU member state citizens must still do this registration at Migri, so please don't mix this with that. But in Maistraatti you can do this if you are a citizen of Nordic country. You can also register your permanent address in Finland as well as the domicile. I will go into this form in my next slide. And also applying for a Finnish personal identity code or number, in other words, social security number. And I have had a brief chat with Aki yesterday, and I learned that you can discuss with your tutors about the Maistraatti visits and needs for these services done by Maistraatti, so you can discuss, and maybe later on in this fall we will also have a session with an expert coming from this office. Okay, so this form is actually, I'll check now here the name in detail. So this is registration information of a foreigner. The name of the form is that. And now I want to point by this blue arrow, question number 24, that regards the information regarding your staying in Finland. So basically, as degree students who have moved to Finland, your residing in Finland will usually take more than 1 year. So in this last question, in this section, you can say yes. And also, this has been a bit of not so clear question previously, but I think that if you are now sort of planning to settle and stay for a longer time in Finland, for example, also applying for jobs and so on, it could be a wise decision to reply that your permanent residence is actually in Finland, if you don't have any reasons for not saying so, because this might actually entitle you to get some important services by the municipality that even we do not know in details, but sometimes this question might come ahead, and then this can be the important information to entitle you to these for these services. For example, healthcare services sometimes can be sort of related with this place of residence. Okay, I have some minutes to go. I will go very quickly through the integration slides. You are always welcome to ask me and the colleagues more information. But basically, we're talking a lot about the integration in Finnish using the word kotoutuminen. That means that the person who has moved to Finland would settle and acquire knowledge and skills needed as a member of a society in Finland. So this can of course mean that thing that you have already you have a student position in Finland. You have it when you will arrive if you're still abroad. Also learning the language during your studies. or maybe you've already started, but you will have opportunity to learn more or less Finnish. So this is very important, taught by our MOVI center. And of course, forming contacts and networks within the society and city is important as well. And Yes, I mentioned already that that sometimes also the residence status kind of, so whether you had the residence permit A or B, or whether you are a permanent resident of a city, has an impact on those services provided, for example, by the TE, the employment offices, integration support services in the city, and so on. But we do also have this kind of services available for our international degree students, for the for example, the initial assessment and the start of integration plan. So because I'm very brief in this case now, so I just want to let you know that if you would like to get an initial assessment, that would sort of map and interview your competencies, your language skills, your plans, and your prospective opportunities here in Jyväskylä and in Finland, please contact me, because I have then contacts with those services in Jyväskylä who are actually processing this kind of initial assessment for integration. And here you can find the SIMHE info at jyu.fi address, where you can contact here. It comes basically to me, and then we can discuss about this initial assessment need and take it forward together. And here is a link to our integration services of the municipality or the city of Jyväskylä in the end of this slide. Later on, for example, if you will stay for a longer time and settle in Finland, if you will get the sort of customary of the TE office at some point, then the TE office will guide you through this kind of initial assessments and integration plans on their behalf. But at the moment, it's up to us in the university to introduce this thing and proceed it with you to this city and TE office organizations. We also have here, quite nearby us, at Kummeruksen katu, a place called Ohjaamo. They are happy to help in any kind of questions you have about, for example, finding information or settling in Jyväskylä, not necessary in terms of studies or so on, but if you are looking forward, for example, opportunities to find internships or any kind of questions you have, you could actually also ask from Ohjaamo, but you have to always let them know that you are actually a degree student, so they know what is the sort of context of the discussion. It's mostly offered only for persons under 30 years of age, but they will guide you further if you are already older than that. And there are again some links, for example, to Aresaari, töissä.fi. These are, for example, services that do cover information about work and jobs for higher education students and graduates and academic professionals. And as I said, that this is now the last slide of my presentation, and then I added some links here also including this SIMHE info. And by the way, I guess I didn't mention where this SIMHE comes from. So SIMHE means supporting immigrants to higher education in Finland, and we do function here in the University of Jyväskylä as well as many other higher education institutions in Finland. So you can keep also the SIMHE acronym on your mind, on your way. Okay, that was my presentation. I'm sorry about exceeding my time. Yes, there's probably only one question here in the chat, and this is a good one. Yes, this regards the amount of the question regards the amount of ECTS required for the extending your visa. So 55 ECTS is required for the scholarship. So if you have gotten the scholarship to cover the tuition fee for the first year of your studies, you can only get the scholarship for the second year if you have already studied 55 credits during the first year. Now, because I know that there might be also students, I'm not sure if there are students who have been already studying, maybe not, but anyhow, you have to check this amount again due to this corona impacts, because there might be change in this amount for the coming year. I'm not sure. We will confirm it from the by the admission services then when it's when the question is current. But for the MICRI, 45 credits is the amount, and that must be proven by the transcript of records. I can't see any other questions, but please feel free to ask by email, and later on in the orientation, I'm sure the colleagues will forward the questions. On my behalf, I just wish you very nice continuation of this orientation and also in specific for the start of your studies. Thanks for your patience and your activity during this session, and have a nice day forward.